Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Brian, obviously talking about football, and his report is brought to you by Winters Brothers, Long Island's number one choice for waste removal and recycling services, by CSEA Local 830, we work for you, by Security Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, Suffolk County's number one volume dealer, and by Digital Ally, a proud partner of MetLife Stadium, Capture Truth. Well, very, very interesting week in sports in general, but, let's flash back to Sunday and that crazy game with Kansas City and Houston.
Yeah.
I don't have a dog in this race, but, I was really disappointed 24-0. I'm going, I wanted to see a competitive game, and I thought there could be a blowout, and I thought Kansas City would be on top of that blowout, and I'm going, oh, boy, do I look stupid, and then, you know, a couple hours go by and I look smart.
Yeah, you got your blowout.
Yeah, we did.
It was a blowout both ways in that game. You don't usually see that, a team down by 20 and ends up winning by 20, but it was really incredible. And, you know, maybe it would have happened anyway. Maybe Patrick Mahomes would have figured it out and started clicking, but the game really changed when Bill O'Brien first decided to kick a field goal on 4th-and-1 from the Chiefs 13, and then faked punts from his own 30. The game completely changed then, and the Chiefs took over. And I thought it was basically, he gave them life. You know, I was so shocked at those decisions, particularly the fake punt from your own 31. So maybe Mahomes would have caught fire anyway, but I think basically Bill O'Brien lit the match there for him.
Yeah, he certainly helped them out. And I wonder if that fake punt was a makeup call where he goes, you know, God, I should have gone for the score there on the 4th-and-1, and I didn't. So, hey, you know, let me try something to make it look like I'm playing a little with house money here. What do you think?
I don't think it was to make it look like it. I think he wanted to go for it on 4th. If you watch the whole sequence, you know, I watched the game again later this week. If you watch that sequence again, he thought he had a first down on 3rd down before the field goal, right? They had 3rd and 8. They threw the running back. He was very close. And I think O'Brien thought that they had a first down. Then he realized they didn't, and they had 4th down. They ended up using a timeout there. And I thought he just should have challenged the spot. And if you don't get it, you use the timeout anyway. But he takes a timeout there, and it looked like they showed him on the sideline. He looked conflicted. And it seemed like there was someone in his headset telling him, kick it here, you know, which all these guys have, these guys in their headsets that tell them on, you know, what the stats say to do on these situations. So, after the game, in talking about the fake punt, he said, you know, we were going to have to score 50 to beat this team. And I said to him, like, well, if that's the case, why would you take 3 instead of going for 7 field goal? And he basically said, that's a good question. And he was like, I just didn't think we had a play at 4th-and-1. I didn't like what we had to run, but I don't know if that makes much sense. Like, you got to have some plays in your play sheet for 4th-and-1, especially at that part of the field. If you don't get it, they have to go 87 yards to score a touchdown. So I don't think it's that big of a deal to not get that there, especially if you're up 21-0 at that point. So I think the fake punt was more along the lines of what he was thinking: be aggressive, keep your foot on the gas. You got to score a lot of points against this team. I just don't think you do that at your own 31. If they're at their own 41, I'm a little bit better with it. You know, if it's 10 yards, you know, but I still think you can't hand Patrick Mahomes a short field. That's just asking for trouble.
Yeah. Could they have called for a measurement on that 4th-and-1? I mean, what's the rule? I mean, the officials can say, nah, we know it's not a first down.
I think that's up to the officials whether they measure, but I just didn't understand why he didn't challenge it, because he ended up using a timeout anyway. So, you know, you're going to lose one of your challenges, but you still have another one. They hadn't used one yet, so I didn't think that was that big of a deal. And it's a very critical spot. You know, you're talking about, especially if you're going to go for a field goal. So I thought he should have challenged there and seen if he got the first down.
Well, I thought his in-game coaching has come under a lot of questioning. I mean, even the week before when you don't kick the field goal and you let them, you know, get the ball back for 3 points to tie it when they would have had to score a touchdown if you had kicked the field goal. So I think his in-game decisions are kind of questionable all along.
Yeah, it's funny because he got ripped the week before for not kicking it, then he gets ripped for kicking it. But I agree with you. And, you know, I don't think, like, people were saying, you know, he should be fired and that stuff. Look, they won a lot of division titles down there, which is nothing to laugh about. Like, they've done a good job. He's getting to the playoffs. It's just getting over that hump of winning these playoff games that's been the struggle for Bill O'Brien and the Texans. I think Jets fans would sign up for, a trip to the playoffs every year. So, he's got to get credit for getting them in the playoffs as much as he has. They just haven't been able to figure it out when they've gotten there.
Ah, well, you've created a nice segue here to Andy Reid.
There you go. Yeah, they're the patron saint of getting to the playoffs and not winning at all.
Yeah. So I think this year will be different. However, all these people who are poo-pooing Tennessee, they can't stop that. I mean, first of all, I'm hearing people go, well, you know, Kansas City will stop Henry. They'll stop the run. Did you watch last week? They weren't stopping the run of Houston. So how are they going to stop Henry in the first place?
And go back to November 10th, too, Richard, when these two teams played. That's the last time the Chiefs lost. And Henry had 188 yards and two touchdowns in that game, including a 68-yard run. So that's kind of been all season. Kansas City has not done well stopping the run.
Yeah, and you know, Belichick couldn't stop him. Harbaugh couldn't stop him, and I think they have pretty good credentials as coaches. So, I don't know. And then the idea, well, you know, they can stop him and make Tannehill beat them because Tannehill threw for under 100 yards. Well, that's all he had to do. And if you watch the games before, he threw for a lot more than that when that was the plan. Yep. So, I think people who are writing off Tennessee, I still think Kansas City will win, but I do think Tennessee will make it close, and I wouldn't be shocked if they won.
Yeah, no, you don't get to this point of the season by accident. You know, there's no fluke to get to the AFC Championship or NFC Championship game. I agree with you. I think they can win. You know, the Kansas City has been better against the run later in the season than they were early in the season, but, you know, something stood out to me when I rewatched the game, the Kansas City Houston game. Tony Romo was broadcasting, and he said that he had faced Steve Spagnuolo a lot of times in the NFC East, obviously with the Giants. And he said, when you face a Spagnuolo defense, it's challenging when you're a passing team. And he said, passing team. And it was like almost like, huh, he doesn't think they're that great against the run then. You know, he thinks it's against the pass. So, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if Henry comes out there and has a big day again on Sunday.
Yeah, and in terms of defensively, I mean, we saw Houston's defense not be so good. And we've seen Tennessee's defense be really good. So I don't think Mahomes is going to put up anywhere near 51 points on Tennessee.
No, but if he puts up 35 or 30,
that's enough.
Like, that's the question. You know, I mean, Kansas City's offense is crazy explosive. You saw that last week. I mean, none of their drives were longer than 3 minutes, like 3 minutes and 55 seconds, I think, was their longest drive, and they scored 51 points. At one point, I looked at the stats, and they had run 51 plays in the game, and they had 51 points. Like, that's crazy. Like, so they are explosive. They can put up points quickly. You know, yes, they might not put up 50, but do they put up 30, and is that enough to win the game? You know, to me, the question comes down to what you're talking about. Defensively, can each defense take away what the other offense does well? You know, can the Titans slow down Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce in this high-flying passing offense? Can the Chiefs slow down Derrick Henry and force Ryan Tannehill to do what you're saying and kind of carry the game? I think that's what the game is going to come down to. Who can take away what the other team does well?
Yeah, and if Tennessee with Henry can run the ball, take time off the clock and keep the ball basically out of Mahomes' hands, that can give them an advantage too. So
The Super Bowl 25 game plan. You know, if that's when you have an offense that can put up points like that, your best defense against that is a good offense and keeping the ball out of their hands. So I think it's a very interesting, compelling matchup here to see with two players at the top of the game, with Patrick Mahomes playing the way he is and Derrick Henry the way he's played over the last month.
Well, I mean, it was a good reference to Giants-Buffalo Super Bowl because you got a game that a team that plays defense and runs the ball versus a team that is an explosive scoring team. Yeah. And, you know, the old school defense running versus the, you know, the new school team that just puts points on the board and doesn't play great defense. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see if the old school prevails or the new school.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's interesting, too, with all the talk of the value of running back in the league, which has been a conversation now for, I don't know, the last 6-7 years or so when it comes to the draft and things. And, you know, Derrick Henry's been pretty valuable. The Titans are not here without Derrick Henry. So it's very interesting. And, you know, Dave Gettleman pointing out the running teams are the ones in the playoffs. Well, you know, the Titans are the old school, like you said, run the ball and play defense.
Yeah, to the point where they're calling him the bell cow.
Yeah. Yep.
That does all that. I know you're focusing on the AFC, but you have any thoughts on the NFC with Green Bay? I mean, all I hear is Aaron Rodgers. He's going to get it done. He's the magic man. And yeah. I look at the 49ers and how much better I think they are than Green Bay. And I go, well, okay, Aaron Rodgers, yeah, I'll take him over Garoppolo, but it's kind of a 53-man team and not just one guy.
Yeah, to me, is the Green Bay defense is the key to this. And Mike Patton, who used to be with the Jets, is the coordinator there. And he, you know, they went out. I remember last year during free agency, it was kind of eye-opening because they went out and signed Za'Darius Smith, and then they signed Preston Smith, the two Smiths pass rushers, you know, and I always pay attention to the pass rushers in free agency because the Jets always need one. And they went out and signed two, and those guys have been great for them. So can they pressure Jimmy G? Can he, or how does he handle it? You know, this is the biggest game he's ever played in, obviously. It's not Aaron Rodgers' biggest game, but this is Garoppolo's biggest game. So how does he handle the pressure? How does Kyle Shanahan manage it? And can Green Bay get after him and pressure him? Because, you know, that to me will be the whole thing. And then on the other side, the 49ers defense looks great. And I think that's going to be a very interesting chess match between Aaron Rodgers and that 49ers defense.
Yeah, especially with the 49ers with a four-man rush. Can afford to drop so many guys into coverage, and I think that's going to be a problem because they can put a lot of pressure on you with just those four guys.
Yeah, I mean, Bosa's been unbelievable as a rookie. You know, as advertised, everyone said he was like that, and, you know, I don't want to torture Jets fans on a Saturday morning with snow coming, but you remember that game last December when the Jets won in Buffalo. They came back and they won that game. Elijah McGuire scored a touchdown late. Sam had a pretty good game. And they won that game, and that made them 4-12. If they had lost that game, they would have had the number one pick in the draft last year, and they would have taken Nick Bosa. So he would have been the pass rusher that the Jets desperately needed. Instead, they won that game in December, which made everyone feel good at the time. But they ended up with a number three pick instead of the number one pick.
Yeah, the ironies of football. Okay, Brian, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again real soon next week.
All right, thanks, Richard.